Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, I'm officially back from vacation and got plenty to catch up on as far as the news and notes go. We'll do all that in segment number one. Then we'll talk about the D word again. Yep, depth. And how it's going to affect the Raiders this season and why. Your calls and texts will close out the show. It's all coming up on Wednesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, May 25th, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Just Raiders. Win.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
Just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
You ought to win as a Raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. It's good to be back. Had a great, relaxing time on vacation with the wife. We were in Maui for about a week. And I'll tell you, the only thing that, coming back from vacation always stinks. But the time change is kicking my backside. But it's okay. I will recover and do all right, but I'll tell you right now that vacation was fantastic. I know a lot of folks reached out and wished me and the wife a good time, which we definitely had, and so it's good to be back. Like I said, it's definitely good to be back. I will say I want to start the show talking about another senseless tragedy that happened on Texas on Tuesday, the killing of 18 children and two adults died at the elementary school in Texas. Just ridiculous, man. This stuff needs to stop. I don't know how it's going to stop. I don't know what the solution is, but clearly what we're doing right now ain't getting it done. It's just awful that as a parent, you could send your kid to school, you could drop your kid off at school, and not sure if they're actually going to make it home. That's an awful feeling. Nobody should ever have to feel that way. And so, I mean, my heart just goes out to all the parents that, you know, dropped their kids off at school thinking that they were going to pick them up afterwards and weren't able to. So it's just awful. And again, it's something that we see happen all the time. We hear about it all the time, and we all get sad, and we all say it's terrible, but then we never do anything about it, and nothing ever changes, and here we are again. So of course, not going to get onto any kind of political soapbox because that's not my style. Not going to tell you what to do and what not to do with your guns. But man, I'll tell you, something at some point has got to change. I hope someone comes up with some kind of solution, because what happened on Tuesday is just not it. But let's go ahead and get into the meat of what we want to talk about today. Of course, news and notes. There's a lot that has happened since I did the last new show. Had a lot of best of shows over the week that I was gone. And I'm not a big best of show fan, but I wanted to make sure that something was put out there, something consistently continued to drop. And I'll tell you this, for all the news and notes that we have to get to, this is why I love doing a show each and every day, because it's always up to date. You know, there's so many different outlets out there. There's so many different ways people get information. But, you know, I see a lot of podcasts to do a show once, you know, a month or once every 2 months, and they're going over, they spend most of the time going over news that's super old. And so as I was putting the show together for today, I'm realizing, like, man, there's so much stuff that happened while I was gone that I just got to catch up on. And I'll do that really quickly, because again, I know Raider fans, how passionate we all are, and we definitely stay up to date on everything going on. Now, as I was loading or getting on the plane, leaving Sacramento, we actually had to leave from Vegas to Sacramento, then to Maui. When I was getting on the plane in Sacramento, I realized that James Bradbury, the guy that I had talked about quite a bit, the free agent cornerback from the Giants, signed a deal with the Eagles, you know. And I was on the plane and I saw that news, and I just kind of said, well, I tweeted out, there goes Bradbury. He's off the tables. It was one of the last things I did as far as Raider news while I was on vacation. I had one more little memo that I put out as far as the Raiders while I was on vacation. But for the most part, I was able to stay away from work. But Bradbury signs a one-year $7.25 million deal, $6.2 million signing bonus, and $1 million base salary for the 2022 season. And basically, he said that there was about 11 teams that had reached out to him, but he felt like the Eagles were his best fit, and so he goes off there. And hey, it is what it is, you know. I mean, the Raiders had an opportunity. If he had stuck around until June 1st, post June 1st, maybe they would have signed him. Maybe they wouldn't have. But you know, who they have is who they have, and there's going to obviously be a few tweaks here and there. Obviously, they're going to cut down their roster to 53. Other teams are going to cut their rosters down to 53. So there's going to be guys out there available. But for the most part, you kind of know what the roster is going to be. You kind of know the main players that are going to be there for the Raiders, and James Bradbury is not going to be one. So, you know, the Raiders are going to have their guys step up. Whoever is at those corner positions, they're going to have to step up and do the best job they can, because that's all they got. I mentioned that I tweeted out a memo on the Raiders. They signed wide receiver Jordan Veazey. That was the last piece of news that I actually tweeted out while I was on vacation over the last week. Matter of fact, that was on Friday, I believe I tweeted that out. Veazey spent the 2021 season with the Houston Texans practice squad. He played in two games. He was originally signed by the Titans as an undrafted free agent in 2018. He was on the practice squad for the Jaguars in 2018, the Bills in 2019, and the Washington football team in 2019 and 2020. So that's the signing right there. Wide receiver Jordan Veazey, not a big deal. To make room for him, they had to release fullback Sutton Smith. So that was the corresponding move that they made. The next piece of news I got is actually something that I was alerted to on my flight back from Maui to Las Vegas, and that was the fact that the Raiders had placed running back Sincere McCormick on the reserve injured list. He was the free agent running back signed out of UTSA. So there you go. That running back room is getting a little smaller and smaller. Of course, they had a plethora of running backs in that room, and now, again, it's just starting to dwindle down in size. And at first when I saw it, I was like, oh, they're stashing them for next year. But really, honestly, and they might be. Who knows? I mean, we might end up finding out that they're just stashing them for next year. But I think that they would have held him on the roster for longer than just a quick minute, because I mean, he's done for the year. You know, he can't come back. So I'm thinking that he probably got hurt in OTAs and they're going to go ahead and release him, give him an injury settlement and release him shortly after. But you never know. It could be a stashing. I just would think that they would wait until at least training camp, at least mandatory minicamp, before you put him on the IR and then stash him away. So I think that they'd let him get a little bit more burn if it was one of those stash type situations. But you never know. It's something to pay attention to. Most likely, my gut feeling tells me that they just released him with an injury he probably suffered in OTAs and or rookie minicamp, and then they decided to go ahead and cut him, and they'll give him a settlement, an injury settlement, sooner rather than later. So if you see that come out in the next few days, you know it was the situation, and not that they're trying to stash him. Speaking of OTAs, they are going on right now. They started on Monday the 23rd, Tuesday the 24th, and they'll also be on Thursday the 26th. And the good thing about Thursday, I'm excited about this one, the media will be allowed to be there for the Thursday edition. Practice will be open to the media from 10:15 to 12:15. We'll be able to take pictures and video at the early portion of the practice, and then we'll talk to head coach Josh McDaniels at 12:15 Pacific Standard Time, and certain players will also be made available. And this will be the first time that any kind of activity we actually get to see. You know, we didn't get to see phase one of the offseason conditioning program. We haven't got to see any kind of rookie minicamp. We weren't allowed to see anything. So knowing that we're going to be able to be there at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center on Thursday, I already sent my email saying, hey, I'll be there. Attendance, I am there. I'm in the house. So, yeah, I'll be there, be able to bring that to you. Obviously, talk about it on Raider Nation Radio 920, but also talk about it on Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. So excited about that opportunity to be back out there. That'll be Thursday. So that's when the OTAs are, 23rd, 24th, and then the next one will be Thursday the 26th. Then after that, you're going to have the OTAs from June 1st to June 3rd. You'll have them June 13th and June 14th. And then squeezed in between that, mandatory minicamp will go on between June 7th and June 9th. I'm not sure yet which days we're going to be able to be out there, but I like the fact that they're getting it started. You know, they're getting us involved now. So we're out there able to take pictures, talk to coaches, talk to players. That is when you start to get ramped up and you start to really get the coverage. So this is what I'm excited about. This is the time of year. I mean, it seems like the season just ended, right? But it looks like it's right around the corner as well. So glad I got that vacation in, because it's about to be full throttle in not too long. Of course, there will be that lull during the summer where everything is gone, but then once training camp hits, then look out. It's full steam ahead. So glad that we'll be out there on Thursday. And then, of course, the other dates that I gave you, there'll be some times that we're able to be out there as well, talk to coaches and players. But the first time will be this Thursday, 10:15 to 12:15 Pacific Standard Time. That's practice. That's when that'll be open. And then we'll talk to the head coach at 12:15 and a couple players they'll make available as well. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. News and notes, kind of catching you up to date on everything that's been going on while I've been gone on vacation. Coming up in segment number two, we're going to talk about the roster. I told you it's, for the most part, it's set. I mean, of course, it's at 90 right now. It won't be at 90 when they go into the season. It'll be at 53, but you pretty much know who the players are going to be. You know the big time players, and I know who the biggest opponent of the Raiders will be in 2022, and it's depth. The D word, depth. We'll talk about it. I'll explain everything that I mean coming up in segment number two after I tell you about Athletic Greens. So right now you're probably saying, all right, what is Athletic Greens? I've never heard you talk about them. Actually, Athletic Greens makes AG1, and AG1 is a product that I use each and every day. And the problem is, You use something each and every day, but you don't use it when you go on vacation. So I didn't bring my AG1 with me, my supply with me while I went on vacation. And maybe that's why I feel a little sluggish. Maybe that's why I haven't really adjusted to the time change and all that other good stuff. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, it's going to take me a couple days to get back into the swing of things. But as I get back into my routine of drinking this AG1 each and every day, it's definitely going to help me. With just one scoop of AG1, you're actually absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and a whole lot more that helps you start your day the right way. It's a special blend of ingredients that support your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. See, recovery and focus. That's what I need right now. I need recovery, and I need all the focus I can get. AG1 will help you do that every single day. I take one scoop, put it into a 12-ounce container of water, bottled water, and mix it up. And it's so super easy, and it tastes really good. It doesn't look like, at first at least, that it was going to taste great because it was green. And I thought, I don't know about this. But as I tried it, it was really good. It has just a nice little sweet flavor to it as well. And so it's not something that's going to be a struggle to get down at all. It's something that you'll say, oh, I like it. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. I should have took those travel packs with me, right? I forgot them. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to talk about the big D word. As you know, we talked on this podcast for years about the P words. The Raiders achieved the P word last season, playoffs, right? And we also talked last season about the D word, depth. And I'm going to bring up the D word again, depth. Because again, I do believe that that is going to be an issue that the Raiders are going to have to deal with. And not just because they didn't go sign James Bradbury, but the fact that they had to go and make a move for a guy like James Bradbury, or they have to go out and make a move for right tackle. Because look, I still look at it as you need a veteran corner and you still need a right tackle. Maybe Alex Leatherwood works out at that position. Who knows? I know that there's different guys that they can put in that position, different guys they can work out in training camp. Of course, they're doing that right now in OTAs. But as far as I'm concerned, those are two areas of need. Those are the two areas that if you look at the Raiders and you say, okay, there's one area of the team or two areas of the team I'm concerned about, that would be it. But I don't even want to really talk about those two positions. I want to talk about the guys behind everybody, you know, the depth that they don't have. And I've talked about it before when I talk about the 2020 draft class and how the first five guys that were selected are all gone off the team. The problem is the depth that the Raiders have accumulated over years hasn't been what it needs to be. And hopefully, the job of this new regime, Dave Ziegler, Champ Kelly, Josh McDaniels and company, the job of them is to go ahead and not only put a winning product on the field, but make sure you have winning players, guys that know what they're doing behind those guys. You know, when the Raiders, traditionally what happens with the Raiders is what? They'll get off to a good start, and then all of a sudden injuries will start hitting in. And when injuries start hitting, then all of a sudden you see the play drop. The Raiders have to have, and I get it, no team is going to have studs behind studs behind studs. You're not going to go three deep on the depth chart and have nothing but studs. You're not going to have that. You're going to have a little bit of a drop-off. But you have to get to a certain point where you feel comfortable with your backups and you feel comfortable with having a guy slide in there if a guy's going to miss a rep or a possession or a game or two. You know what I mean? I mean, that. Look at the running back room right now. Look what they've done so far. They've stacked it up. Now, of course, all those guys aren't going to be there, but what has happened the last few years with Josh Jacobs? He gets banged up. He'll miss a game here, miss a game there, and will the running game suffer a little bit? Sure, it will. Now it seems like there's at least some quality depth there, and who knows what's going to happen after this year with Josh Jacobs, but it looks like there's some quality depth, like they're trying to build that. The problem is, the Raiders had to go out this offseason. If you go look at their salary cap situation, they went out there and they spent a ton of money. They put a whole lot of money into this roster for this year. You know, I had Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus on. Matter of fact, that was the last, new show I did before I went on vacation. And he was talking about the Raiders and their salary cap situation for next year and why they really need to be all in on this year, you know, trying to win this year. And he thinks that they're going to have a really good team. And I think they're going to have a really good team, too. But what happens if one guy goes down? Remember what happened last season when Darren Waller went down? All of a sudden, the offensive production dropped off. The drop-off was massive, right? So they have to have guys. And the good thing about it, at least offensively, you know that there's Devontae Adams. You know Hunter Renfro's there. You know Darren Waller's there. Of course, Bryan Edwards just got traded. That happened before I left. And they brought in some other guys, you know, and that's good. But those are guys there on one-year deals. You know, they've got to find guys that they can draft and they can develop and they can continue to stock that cupboard and feel comfortable when a guy walks out the door in free agency and says, you know what, that's okay, but this guy that we drafted two seasons ago or whatever is going to be a stud. I mean, you saw, and that's what a lot of people were talking about with Bryan Edwards, and I said it was not a big deal that they traded him because it just wasn't going to work. Plus, it was a new regime, and they're not tied at the hip to Bryan Edwards. Hell, they're not tied at the hip to anybody. Now, they've obviously made it clear who they really like on the squad and who they like from the old regime's players and who they didn't like, you know, the guys that they let hit the door. But you've seen the guys that they've been able to hold on to. You know, Max Crosby, they gave him a contract extension immediately. Derek Carr, they took care of him with options. You know, we'll take care of him for this year, and then we'll see what happens after that. There's going to be a time where the Raiders are going to continuously draft quarterbacks. You're going to see them continuously draft running backs. You saw them draft two running backs this year. You saw them draft two offensive linemen this year. I mean, and that's with a limited amount of draft picks. So what they're attempting to do, and this is what I can appreciate about the new regime, and of course, we don't know if these players are going to be good. You know, we always think coming out of the draft, oh, man, that guy's going to be good because of this, and that guy's going to be good because of that. Until we actually see them on the field, we really don't know. And really, it's going to be more than one season. It's going to be multiple seasons. Can those guys stay healthy? Can they play at a consistent level? I mean, there's so many things that go into it, right? So you feel like they're at least trying to build that depth up, trying to build that talent in that cupboard back up, because right now it's not there. Even the guys that Mayock and Gruden hit on, which were a lot of later round guys, a lot of those guys are contributing right now. I mean, they have to contribute. You know, it's not even like they had time to sit and develop. I mean, Trayvon Merrick played all the defensive snaps just about in 2021, right? Nate Hobbs played a ton in 2021. You know, Alex Leatherwood played every snap just about in 2021. I mean, think about that. Think of all the guys that they've drafted that are actually good players, that the Raiders have drafted that are good players. They're all playing immediately because they have to. You know, some good franchises, good front offices like the Baltimore Ravens and, you know, Seattle at one point was really good at this, where they were able to draft guys and they didn't force them on the field immediately. They didn't have to use him in a certain position or say, oh, this has got to be the guy. Like when Leatherwood was drafted, it was like, he's the right tackle. He is the Raiders' right tackle of the future, because they had to have that guy, because they had a turnstile there at the right tackle position. Now, it didn't work out his rookie year at right tackle. Maybe they're going to give him a shot at right tackle this year. Maybe it'll work out a little bit better. Only time will tell. But just about every player that they grab, every player that they draft, you know, it seems like, hey, they got to be thrown into the fire immediately, because the need and the want for a talented dude is so high at those positions. So I'm excited about this year. I'm excited about the players that I feel like are going to be big-time players. I'm excited about Chandler Jones defensively, excited about what Max Crosby could do. I think he's only going to get better and better each and every year. I really do. You know, obviously the linebacking position, want to see who's going to emerge and be the linebacker of the future, who can hold that position down for a good 4, 5, 6 years, if anybody. You know, Denzel Perryman's going into the last year of his deal. Divine Diablo, I thought he did some good things his rookie year. Is he going to be able to take that next step? Can Tyree Gillespie, can he be somebody? You know, but again, you're depending on so many young dudes. And you saw the Raiders go out there and spend a lot of money on veterans. And that's why, because they just don't have the quality depth on the team. And that is something that they've got to get away from. They can't continuously go out there and just spend a boatload of money and say, well, we'll make up for our lack of struggles in the draft and developing then with free agency, spending free agency money. Now, of course, this is a new regime, so I can't hold that to them. They did what they had to do to make this team in their eyes competitive. And again, I think they did a really good job. But throughout the course of the season, the 17-game, 18-week season, nicks and bruises and bumps and bruises and bangs and all that other stuff, injuries happen all the time. And you've got to have someone who can go in there and fill that void and you feel comfortable with it. You know what I mean? I mean, think about this. Davante Adams, knock on wood that he goes out. But what if he misses a game or two? Then all of a sudden, now you're looking at Waller and you're looking at Renfro. And I'm not saying that they can't compete, but, I mean, you would like to have someone that you feel like, hey, man, this guy is up and coming. He could be a number one. You know, and Hunter Renfro is great, but he shouldn't have to be in that role. And Darren Waller, when he's out there and you know he's the number one target, everyone knows that. I'm really interested in how the competition at the defensive tackle position is going to go. They brought in a lot of dudes in the free agency, in the offseason. They brought in a ton of guys. And most of them are just on one-year deals, you know, a couple on two-year deals. But they didn't spend a ton of money, but they brought a bunch of guys in. I'm looking for that competition. Who's going to be able to be the front line, the second line, and the third line? You know, who's going to be able to fill those out? And are those guys going to be some quality depth? If they have quality depth, you feel pretty good about what Max Crosby and Chandler Jones could do coming screaming off the edges. You know, does Malcolm Kuntz take another step forward? He might. I like what he did in limited snaps as a rookie. He's going to have to take another step. He's going to have to be that guy that when somebody like a Chandler Jones all of a sudden is done and retired or moves on, then, hey, Malcolm Kuntz could slide right into that position and the Raiders not miss a beat. You know what I mean? Now you have two bookends in Malcolm Kuntz and you have Max Crosby, because Max Crosby is still a young dude. I mean, that's ideally what you want. That's the kind of maturation that you want. And the Raiders have not had that in a very long time, where one guy leaves, no problem. There's another guy to fill the void. Here he comes. He's the young stud that's been waiting to get his opportunity is right there. The Raiders haven't had that at all in a very long time. I mean, think about this. Even when Amari Cooper got traded, remember when the Raiders traded Amari Cooper? Who do they have left after that? They really didn't have anybody. You know what I mean? They didn't have some young stud that John Gruden could say, oh, we could trade this guy and get a first-round pick because so-and-so is going to fill the void and really be the dude. They didn't have that. They just didn't. You know, of course, Darren Waller ended up being weapon number one, but how long did that take? That took a minute. So that again, going back to the D word, depth, this season, I think it's going to be one of those that you beat up on everybody. You know, the AFC West is going to be a tough out every single week. We already know that. All four teams are looking like they're going to be really good. You're going to need some quality depth on your team to be able to get it done. And unfortunately for the Raiders, it's going to take them a couple seasons, a couple off seasons, to be able to stack that depth and build that cupboard up. I talked about Sincere McCormick earlier in segment number one and talked about the Raiders putting him on the reserve IR list. And I'm thinking that that's due to an injury and they're not stashing him for next year. But if they are, then they're right there. They're thinking about the depth. They're like, hey, we like this guy. We just don't like him right now. You know what I mean? We'll see what happens. Again, I'd be surprised if that was a stash move this early on in the situation, but maybe they are. Maybe they got enough that they saw out of him to say, yeah, you know what? We're going to hold on to this dude for next year. And then you'll have a combination of Zeus, Zamir White. You'll have, Brandon Bolden. You'll have a couple other running backs. And, oh, by the way, we'll add Sincere McCormick into that as well. I mean, they have to do that. While they're putting this team together for this year, they also have to think about next year. And the year after, and the year, they have to do that so they know how the house is built, basically. You know, the framework is there. The Raiders have the framework there. Now they just need to fill it in. They really need to fill it in and build it up and have plenty of talent. And so that's going to be the job over the course of this year. You know, when the cuts come down, I'll be interested to see who Dave Ziegler goes out and gets. You know, as far as guys from other teams, of course, that's not till training camp and when training camp's over, so that's a long time from now. But those will be some of the things that I'm interested in. You know, who does he pick up from other teams? Where does he put them? Does he stash them? Does he hold on to them? Are they guys that could develop into big-time players later on? You know, because this is not just a sprint, man. This is an absolute marathon if you want to be a team that's consistently in the playoffs. The Raiders don't want to be that team that shows up in the playoffs once every 4 years. You know, they're not the Olympics, man. You know what I mean? They're not the Olympics. They want to be the team that actually shows up every single year in the playoffs. That's what you want, is consistency. Just like Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, they experienced that in New England. They want that experience with the Raiders. They want to consistently be one of those teams where you think about the Raiders and you know, man, that's going to be a tough out. That's going to be a playoff team right there. Every time the Raiders appear on someone else's schedule, that's going to be a tough game. That's what they're trying to work for. That's what they have to do. So the depth is something I'm paying attention to. Want to see how the whole roster shakes out. Of course, they're only in OTAs. Excited to be able to go and get my eyes on them for the first time on Thursday and talk to Josh McDaniels after that tight practice and see what he thinks about the team right now, early on, while they still got 90. But, man, it's going to be interesting to see how they put this whole thing together and how this 53-man roster is shaping up and where is that depth and where is the lack of depth. And I would think that it's going to be on the offensive line and in the cornerback room for sure. And I would say that the linebacking room has a little bit of questions as well. But, of course, it's a long time between now and then. So something that I'll continue to monitor. I'll something to continue to update, not each and every day. But as time goes by, as different phases of the offseason and training camp goes, I'll continue to talk about it because, again, it's something that I thought was going to be the Raiders were going to go last year as far as their depth would take them. And I think it did. And it probably took them a little bit further. I think they probably did a little bit better than their depth told them they were going to do. And I think that's going to be the case again this year. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before I get to any of that, though, do want to tell you about betonline.net. Of course, they're the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. They got the latest odds, news, and sports developments. Of course, the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball fights, and even the NFL futures for next season. BetOnline.net's got you. They're your continued source for all your sports wagering information, live betting, playoffs, esports, and a whole lot more. Head to the website right now on your laptop or your mobile device. Check out the trends and all the action. BetOnline.net, that's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Jordan in Oregon. He's calling with an appreciation call to the podcast, then also talks about reflecting on the Raiders as he reflects with his buddies. Here he is, Jordan in Oregon.
Hey, what's going on, Q? Jordan in Oregon. Been loving the podcast. I know you're on vacation, and I just wanted to give you a shout-out, man, for putting this week together for us. It's been kind of fun just to reflect back on some of the great interviews that you've had, and it's been a cool week. But I just wanted to really call in, and hopefully this message it doesn't have to be played or anything. Just wanted to be for you, man. I just wanted to say I appreciate you. Kind of having this every single day. Like, I look forward to this as my first listen of the day, and kind of gets me through. Like you've talked about, we all have things going on in life, and we've talked about that on the pod, and you've elaborated on that. And this is one thing that kind of keeps me grounded, and I definitely just appreciate having that to look forward to and listen to. But I also wanted just to say something, man, that I thought was really cool. It's having a conversation with some friends of mine, you know, just hit me like, you know, looking at old pictures, and we were just kicking back and thinking of some old times we've had. We do it up on Sundays for games. And the Raiders are good again. The Raiders are good again. And cheers to that. I don't think I need to say much more, like, other than, you know, last couple decades, we couldn't always say that. And since, 2016 area, 2015, the Raiders have been back, and we've had some down years since then, but it's been a different team. And there's a lot that we could go into, whether that's, just the move to just so many DC to so many things of why the Raiders are a good team again. But it's been a roller coaster, from drafting DC to everything that happened with Gruden to Del Rio to here we are, man. And the Raiders are good, and I'm stoked on that. And I just wanted to leave my call off with that, man. Is look forward to listening to you cover this team that's back. They're back, man. Have a good one. Appreciate everything you do, man. Later.
There he goes. That's Jordan in Oregon. Thank you so much for the call, my man. I do appreciate you. And probably not even a message that I had to play, like you mentioned, but I just think the early part of that was important. You know, sometimes we all have things that takes us away from stuff going on in our personal lives. It kind of helps us deal with stuff and cope with things, like an escape. And that's a great thing. I mean, it really is. Everyone should have an escape. And I'm glad that this podcast could do that for some folks. And I'll tell you right now, this podcast does it for me sometimes. Sometimes I got stuff going on, and just being able to sit down and talk a little Raider football, or jump on the radio and talk some Raider football, or whatever I'm talking, you know, just kind of getting myself lost in some sports, that is the great escape. So I think that that's a real important part of the message. And you know, this team is as far as them being good, I mean, hey, look, making it back to the playoffs last season was a big step, especially with everything that they had going on. But they've got to go and be repeat offenders. You know what I mean? They can't keep just doing it once every 4 years, like I mentioned before. They've got to find ways to continuously end up in the playoffs. So this year's a big year. I expect them to go, you know, 10, 11 wins and find a way to get to the playoffs. And it's going to be hard. The West is a very tough division. But if they want to really be considered a good team and back, then they've got to consistently get to the playoffs. So thank you so much for that call. I do appreciate you. Next up, I got a text from STL Raider in St. Louis. Said, new booty here, STL Raider from St. Louis, Missouri. Started watching the Silver and Black as soon as I saw Bo Jackson. I haven't been able to shake him since. Anyway, I want to ask you about the possibility of the Raiders making a move for Jalen Reagor. He's definitely been a bust in Philly, but maybe he just needs a change of scenery like Aguilar did. He's been stuck with two pretty inaccurate quarterbacks, but has shined at moments. It sounds like the Eagles are dying to get rid of him. The Raiders could probably get him for a hot sandwich, and if things worked out, he might be able to fill that deep threat role that Ruggs was so good at. Curious to hear your thoughts. I appreciate your podcast for getting me caught up on everything Silver and Black, especially the crossover specials. Just win, baby. That's from STL Raider in St. Louis. Thank you so much for that that text, my man. And I promise, man, I've had a couple of STL Raiders here on the podcast, so I definitely appreciate you. And I'll say this, as far as Jalen Reagor, I remember when he was at TCU, I was in Central Texas covering the Big 12. He was a hell of a player. When he was drafted in the first round, I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked because I didn't think he was a first-round wide receiver. And I think that that's part of the issues with him in Philly is that he's a first-round wide receiver, so they expect him to be a first-round type guy. You know what I mean? So maybe if the Raiders were to get him, maybe they could add that speed element. Now, they have a couple guys that they picked up in free agency. You know, remember, DeMarcus Robinson came over from the Kansas City Chiefs. Keelan Cole came over from the Jets, the Jaguars. You know, he's that veteran, that wily veteran. Again, these guys are only on, like, one-year deals, but those are guys that can stretch the field. So remember that that element is there as well. So they have a few different options, but Rager might be a guy that they look at and say, you know what, for, like you said, a hot sandwich and maybe a cup of coffee, maybe they can get him and maybe be worth it. But he has been so far a bust in Philly, but having that first round ticket on his name, similar to Cleve Ferrell, who had the first round pick, but number four overall, which is even bigger, that just puts that much more pressure on a player to go out there and show his worth. So we'll see. I don't think Jalen Rager is going to be in Philly long. I'll be interested to see where he ends up next, but good text and thank you for it. I do appreciate you. Next up, got a call from Chuck in the 512. He's calling to talk about the mistakes the old regime made, especially in that 2020 draft class, compared to what the new regime is doing. Here he is, Chuck in the 512.
What up, Q? This is Chuck in the 512. Huge Raider fan. You do a heck of a job, man. Love the show. Was calling in about the review you did on the 2020 draft. I mean, what a joke. I mean, I can't even believe those guys got the opportunity they did. And I'm talking about Gruden and Mayock. When you look at that draft class and everybody being gone in Arnett in the first round, I mean, geez, these guys aren't, the new regime is not even close to doing that. I mean, you look at the picks they make already, even from the third round back, the quality that they needed. I mean, granted, they were needed picks, but you look at the players, man. I mean, just a total different mindset in drafting. It's incredible how bad those guys were at some of those picks. I just can't get over it. And you see when you go over that top of mountain, nine of them were Raiders. What a joke. All right. I love what they're doing, man. Go Raiders. I think this is going to be a hell of a year.
There he goes. That's Chuck in the 512. Thank you for the call. Appreciate you. And yeah, man, that goes back to what I was talking about in segment number two, that depth. You know, this is how this team is going to go. Depth has to be there, and they don't have it right now. And a lot of it has to do to awful drafting, at least early, you know, not being able to get those fifth-year options on guys, not being able to cash in on first-round draft picks. I mean, it's just not happening, you know, and it's an unfortunate. You know, the first five guys drafted in that 2020 draft class, all gone. That's a shame, but that's how you build depth on your team is you're able to go into the draft, get guys. Now, again, I've given them a lot of credit for what they've done late in drafts, but they haven't been able to succeed early in the draft, and they need to get both. They need to learn how to do both because you want to get guys in the first round. You want to hit on them so you can pick up that fifth-year option so that you can get them another year before you have to give them a big contract if they're a big-time player. Or you can get them for another year and then move on from them. You know, simple as that. So we'll see what happens this year. I do think this team is going to be good, but I just hope that, you know, the injury bug does not hit them like it has for, what, a few years in a row now, right? I mean, for a few years where they started out really good and then injuries hit in and boom. They take a couple steps back because they just don't have the depth to fill the void. So thank you so much for that call. I do appreciate you. Next up, I got a text from Missouri Raider. So I had STL Raider in St. Louis. Now I got Missouri Raider. So Missouri is representing today. Say, hey, Q, listening to your Tuesday show in regards to the AFC West beating up on each other. Just look at last year's NFC West where the Super Bowl champs came out of. The Rams swept the Seahawks, got swept by the 49ers, split with the Cardinals. They went 3-3 in their division, which is what I think all four teams in the AFC West will probably go. The winner of the AFC West won't get the number one seed in the playoffs, but they still might win it all. P.S. I like your optimism about sweeping the Chiefs, and since I live in Chiefs country, that'd be fantastic, but I really can't imagine us splitting with the Chargers and Broncos, yet sweeping the Chiefs. Hope you're right, though. Missouri Raider out. And P.S. I agree with your head coach order for this year, but next year McDaniel jumps to number two, though. That's from Missouri Raider, and if you don't remember that conversation that I had here on the podcast, I was talking about ranking the coaches in the AFC West, and of course Andy Reid was number one. I put Brandon Staley number two from the Chargers just because he was over 500 his only year as a head coach. And then I put Josh McDaniels right behind him, but I mean nipping at his heels. You know what I mean? Like right there because he has had so much success as an offensive coordinator, but he didn't have that much success as a head coach when he was in Denver. So I kind of gave him the third spot, and then I put Nathaniel Hackett with the Broncos fourth because he hasn't done it at all. So that was my order on that. But thank you so much for that text. And Yeah, man, I do think the AFC West is going to beat up on each other. And again, the only reason that I have the Raiders sweeping the Chiefs is only because the distance in between the two games, week 5 and week 18. And I think that week 5 they're going to win because it's early and they're going to go to Kansas City and they've got to find a way to win on the road in Kansas City more consistently. You know, so I think they're going to win that one. I feel good about that Monday night. And I think that week 18 game is going to be something that they're going to have to win at home at Allegiant Stadium. And so they find a way to win that. You look up and say, oh, damn, they just swept the Chiefs. But it's just not very likely. But that's the reasoning why I said that. It wasn't just because I think they're a much better team than the Chiefs. I just think that the timing when they play them makes a whole lot of sense. So thank you so much for that text, my man. I appreciate you. Next up, and we'll close it out with this, we got a call from Weapon X in PA. He's calling to talk about the Bengals-Raider game and how the game could have been a big difference maker if the Raiders had actually won that game, and he'll explain why. Here he is, Weapon X in PA.
Hugh, this is Weapon X from PA. And I was sitting down. I know that we're in the slow part of the season right now, and I was rewatching the Bengals game, and when it brought to my mind when that play with the whistle happened, the late whistle that a lot of people point to as the loss in that game. I don't necessarily know that lost the game for us, but it was a pivotal part. And I thought, you know, what happened if we would have won that game? Would Mayock still be the GM? And if Mayock was still the GM, you know, Yannick Ngakoue is probably still a Raider. Do we have Devontae Adams? We probably don't have Chandler Jones. The whole offseason looks a lot different, right? We probably don't change coaches. So, you know, that play is a pretty big play on the referee's part. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. What do you think would have happened if we would have won that game? Would we still have Bisaccia and Mayock running the show?
There he goes. That's Weapon X and PA. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate you. You know, it's something to consider. I mean, it really is, you know, something that you have to think about. It's similar to, obviously not with the same magnitude, but it's similar to the Tuck rule. You know, if the Raiders had not been robbed in that game, then a lot of things would have changed. You know, a lot of things would have not changed. You know, a lot would have stayed the same. But in this game with the Bengals, you know, the thing about it is, and I kind of said it throughout the season, I thought Rich Bisaccia was just what he was, an interim head coach. I never thought that he was going to be the long-term guy. Some people thought I just didn't like him. That had nothing to do with that. He was a hell of a guy, hell of a leader, and he was great for the job that he was asked to do. I just didn't think that he was going to be Mark Davis's guy moving forward for the long term. I just never thought that. I think he wanted a big name like a Josh McDaniels or even a Jim Harbaugh, someone who I think that he probably entertained, but once he realized that Harbaugh wanted a John Gruden-type deal, he wasn't going to give it to him, which shows that he learned from the previous mistake that he made with John Gruden. He just basically wanted someone with some skins on the wall. That's what I think. And then Mayock, I think he really sealed his fate when he kept campaigning for Bisaccia throughout the, you know, the year through the media, you know, saying, hey, Rich Bisaccia is a guy that I pounded the table for. Rich Bisaccia is a guy that I've recommended to other people. And I just think that he kind of sealed the deal. And he might have already been on his way out the door. Maybe Mark Davis had just said, hey, you know what, we need a total reset. And that would have been okay, too. So I don't know how much that game would have changed things. It's so funny. People ask me that all the time. What did Rich Bisaccia have to do to keep his job? And I always joked and said, well, win the Super Bowl. Anything less than that, Mark Davis needs to go out there and at least do his due diligence on some head coaches. I literally thought that Bisaccia was always going to be done at the end of the year. Not because he was a bad guy, but just because that he's an interim head coach, and very rarely does an interim head coach become the full-time head coach. I know it happens every once in a while, so I know why, as you're picking up the phone to call me, you're going to say, but this guy did. I know. It just doesn't happen that often, so I do think that he was on his way out, and Mayock more likely was probably the collateral damage between Gruden and Bisaccia. You know, that probably sealed his fate anyway. But thank you for that call. It is always fun to kind of look back and think back, well, what if this hadn't happened? Or what if this had happened? Maybe the Raiders are in a different position right now. But I like the new regime. I really do. I like the direction that they're going as far as the players that they brought in. I think this team is going to be very competitive. I think they're going to be really good, as a matter of fact. And I think the play calling on the sideline from Josh McDaniels is going to be a lot better than what we've seen over the years with John Gruden. And I like John Gruden. I was a John Gruden guy. I'll be the first one to tell you that. So I'm excited to see what they do. Obviously, it's a long way between now and when we'll actually see it executed on the field and it means something. But, man, it's been fun so far this offseason, and it hasn't made it very boring. It's been a lot of fun just to kind of see how all the twists and turns how they've all shaken out. So thank you so much for that. I do appreciate you. It's great to be back again. My first day back from vacation. So hopefully I shake out the cobwebs and be back better than ever in the next couple of days as I kind of get readjusted again. But full throttle is what we do, Raider Nation. I appreciate you rocking with me. Hopefully you enjoyed the best of shows. I know a lot of folks hit me up and was like, man, that Lester Hayes interview was off the chain. That's one of my favorite ones. So hopefully you enjoyed that as well. But it's a full throttle from here on out. Of course, practice OTAs will be on Thursday. I'll be out there and be able to talk to you about everything I saw and heard from OTAs on Thursday. So until tomorrow, Raider Nation, take care of your family. Love on your family. Take care of yourselves. And as always, just win, baby.